Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the third day of November, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events with Bud and Judy. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. Callers will be welcome. We do ask, of course, that you watch the language and are courteous to other people on the calls. We are in the question and answer mode, which means you're automatically muted upon entering the call until you signify to me that you wish to speak, and then I will answer as the requests in the queue come up. Our website is www.PastorDan.net, and it's Pastor Dan altogether with no spaces, PastorDan.net. And we do remind you there's a Daily Mail page there for up-to-date information. Also, the homepage has been modified. There is a link there if you wish to help us financially, electronically, and there is also information there if you wish to help the old-fashioned way through the mail. We do have a Contact Us page, and you can just follow the instructions on it. To my kinsmen in other lands, a mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. A mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Basically saying welcome to my cousins, welcome to the call. In French, Spanish, and German. Okay, Bud and Vicky, if you want to go ahead and unmute.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Yeah,
welcome.
You did introduce us as Bud and Judy in the intro, so just so we cleared it up. And you fixed it already, so it is Bud and Vicky. So we got that. Yeah.
I can't believe it. Okay. Must be.
Yeah, we can edit it later. Vicky, yeah. Huh? Yeah, well, Judy was the ex, so that's I understand that. My ex, yeah.
Well, I apologize for that then, Bud and Vicky.
Yeah, we love it. It's all in good fun.
Yeah.
But in the green room, we were talking a little about PMAs, which are private membership associations. And you know, we got some experience with them. We like to support them. We don't couldn't tell you how to set them up, although we can steer you in the right direction. But basically, what it is, it takes the government out of the loop. There's a fee you pay, and then you become and you become into this bigger association. But what that does is that takes you out of the government loop. You don't have to do any mandates. You don't have to do anything. We have our good friend Kathy Breen, who runs the store Back to Nature in Seneca Falls. She's a private membership association, and Seneca Falls is right in the middle of Biden territory. So it's a hostile environment to start with. But she became when everything's first kicked off. I mean, she never required masks anyway. She got harassed about it a couple of times. So she researched and became the private membership association. And then put a sign on the front of her door that this is a private membership association. Any government official needs to call the front desk before entry. And the front desk was her cell number. So anyone who called after that just got refused entry. And they pretty much had to let her alone. You know, they still try to fine her here and there, but there's nothing they can do because they're unenforceable laws.
Wow. They're not laws.
Yeah, well, they're not laws. So,
they're unenforceable mandates.
They're unenforceable mandates, and when they try to fine you for something that's unenforceable, all you have to do is not pay the fine. Like there's the Atlas Gym in New Jersey. Pretty sure it's in Belmar, New Jersey. They didn't shut down at all, and they in the beginning, they did everything they can to follow their, to make things safe. You know, they did their contact tracing, they're wearing masks, they pulled all their machines out into the parking lot so they can make the room and space for everybody to work. And they still shut them down anyway. They went and they chained the doors shut on them. They cut the locks and opened up again. And they were coming back to chain the doors again. They took the doors off, and they remained open. And then they became a private membership association where they take no fees for their gym. It's actually free to go into their gym. And there is, you know, you can make a donation if you want. And of course, they're doing really good with their merchandising. And, you know, that's how they've survived through this. And they just stood their ground. They have tens of thousands of dollars in fines from the state of New Jersey. And they told them to stuff it, every single one of them. And, they're standing strong, and you know that's what we have to do to get by this. It's in our opinion that we don't want to fight the old system that's broken and dying anyway. What we need to do is build the new, because the old is going to die just by us not paying attention to it anymore. It's like a bully and racism. You know, let the racist scream all he wants. It doesn't matter. You know, just let him scream his heart out, because we don't share his opinion. You can call it all you want, but we're not going to listen to you. So, you know, if nobody listens to him, then who they have to speak to? You know, the only reason why anyone like that, or, you know, someone who's racist or whatever, the only reason why they even do it is because they want to make you mad. They want to get your attention. And when they do that, they're happy, yeah. And then when they try to attack you in any way, say you're a racist or you're not wearing your mask, you're doing whatever, it's just for them. It's too. I just lost my train.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hey, while you're getting your train back, that I've read that quote by Richard Buckminster Fuller many times, and he said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." So
just like Henry Ford didn't worry too much about the horse when he built the automobile. You know, right. He didn't focus on what the horse does. He proceeded into doing something that was going to make the horse obsolete.
Exactly.
That's why we're supporting these private membership associations. There is one here closer to us that is getting started with animals and space and, you know, putting in things that are therapeutic for people to help people heal, because there's going to be a lot of need for that. And anybody that is setting themselves up, because we can help with sweat equity, we can help with suggestions and ideas, and just backing them up in whatever direction they're already choosing to go. And we can be really fluid in that, which is an asset. But there are also, for anybody that doesn't know, there are also PEAs, which is really important right now, because parents are setting up these private education associations so that they can have their own schools, they can educate the way they choose, and actually help children think creatively, not just tell them what to think. Excuse me. And there is also a private health association for those that want to do, you know, more medical type healing and be able to do it by natural means. There went mine.
Well, they're both that sound like really good ideas, the PMAs and the PEAs. It's basically separating yourself from Babylon.
I remembered my train. That most people don't understand that places like the Clinton Foundation, they have always been a private membership association. So they act as if they're absolutely exempt from everything that is public, because they are. And it's always been an option to operate in the private sector as opposed to in the public sector. But most people don't know that, and what it takes to actually do that hasn't been worth it until it's been made worth it by the fact that people have been squeezed out of their jobs and out of their very existence practically by all this overreach and tyrannical tiptoe as if it was a tiptoe that's been going on. But I guess it has been, because most people haven't realized it's been oncoming for the last 100 years. It's just been this most recently, when you're going to be put out of your job and you don't know how you're going to pay your mortgage or take care of your kids or do any of the things that you're used to, then it becomes incumbent to act, speak, and move differently, which is what we're trying to support right now.
Right. So do you know, in these private membership associations, just a ballpark figure of what they're asking to become a member for the folks listening in?
I know one person said it cost, I think it was either $2,800 or $2,500. I think it was $2,800. But under $3,000, so... you know, that can pay itself off really quickly in this climate, because there's so many people that are looking for the difference. The parents who have taken their children out of school, but they have their home business and they need their child to be educated and they just can't do the whole homeschool thing. There are these private education associations popping up, so that we're building that new. It becomes worth it quickly when you become one of the few games in town, instead of, oh, well, we're just the city school and we have dominion over everything and you'll take it and like it or else. Or go to Catholic school, which
is just as good. Bad. Yeah.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But right. We need to have free will choice.
Right. That reminds me, I wanted to just talk for just a second on Romans 13, which is completely misapplied by everybody today. The church world, which is part of the communist takeover, the prostitutes called preachers have sold their souls to the devil. But they concentrate on verses like 1 and 2, where it says, be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, that's in the English. But they don't go further down in that same chapter where it says, for those ruling are an object of fear, not to good works, but to evil. Now, what person in their right mind thinks that the people in charge today are a terror to the evil, but they support those trying to do moral works? We don't. So this whole Romans 13 is completely taken out of context, because it's applying to us being subjected to authorities that are moral, godly authorities. We have absolutely nothing in Scripture that says we should be in subjection to ungodly authorities. In fact, if you go to Proverbs and Psalms, it makes it very clear that we are to resist, even to the point of death, those that would do evil. So, you know, once again, liars and deceivers give you a piece of the puzzle to commit their perjury of the true Scripture, where if you read further, it's very, very clear that what Romans 13 is talking about is those that are in government or governing positions that are there by God, which means to do his works, not the works of the devil. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, the works of the devil has been incarnated in Kathy Hochul here in New York, because when she stands in front of a mega church and says, God created this vaccine and I need you to be my apostles or disciples, one or the other that she said, and it, you know, making it incumbent on everybody to enforce on everybody else as if that is something that God does, because, I don't know, free will, remember, people, you know.
Right. Free will just keeps getting in the way, doesn't it?
And I don't understand why people don't understand that governmental means control your mind. Literally, the word means control your mind. And that was one of the other things that that we wanted to touch on, is that some people don't know what it is entirely, but most people have heard about, say, witching for water, divining, using a divining rod, which is a forked branch used to find water currents or electrical lines underground. And it's, well, it's not necessarily an art, but for those who understand it and practice it, it becomes that way because they're very proficient in what they do, because it detects the presence of energy fields, of current. And we've been using dowsing rods to measure people's energy fields and to find out things like, if somebody wants to use an essential oil, you can gauge good, better, or best for them by how much it expands their energy field. We use dowsing rods that are just separate rods. They're not the forked branch, but they cross in front of you when they contact the edge of an energy field once you've instructed them to do that. And it can be a very valuable tool because when people are like, well, I don't know because, you know, there's this and then there's this and maybe that's the right thing and I'm just not sure, whether or not your energy field is expanded and to what degree is a sure answer by your own very frequency to say, you know, what it is that's good, better, and best. And you can use it for foods and see whether or not something you're intending to eat expands your energy field. You don't even necessarily have to have the substance. You could write it on a piece of paper or just say it to the person and have them hold the thought of it. I did it for my sister to test supplements. She had a whole array of supplements she was taking, and she wasn't sure which ones were really the best for her and which ones she should maybe exclude that weren't working as well as she'd like. And I devised my own little system to be able to do that, to give her some guidance or just give her a visual and understanding connection of what her own energy field's message was about those things. And in teaching successive classes about dowsing, I was asking into ways to be more creative and bring value to people who already have more experience with dowsing than I do. And I just was inspired to douse on words because you're aware of the work of Masaru Emoto, correct, with water? Dan?
Not me, no.
Oh, no. You're not? Okay.
No.
Well, Masaru Emoto, he was doing work for many years and discovered many things as far as water was concerned. And one of them was that he took the same water and put it into different bottles in different areas. And on one bottle, he would put things like love, peace, harmony, balance, you know, words that were positive and uplifting. And on the other bottle of the same water, he would put words like hate, disgust, war, things of that nature. And after he had left the water with those words on the bottles, he took the water and froze it and cut it into really thin discs so he could put it under a microscope and look at it and see what the water's constitution looked like. And the water that was underneath, that had the peaceful, loving words, looked crystalline pure, was beautiful snowflake configurations, and just looked purified. And the other water that had the hateful words on it looked like pond scum.
Wow.
And from that understanding, we can all understand that we're basically bags of water. And the words that we say, think, hold, and write in whatever way affect us before they go out to anyone else. But what we have been taught in school is sacred geometry through letter and numeral, and then we're taught to spell, but don't cast one because then you're a witch. But What else is it that you're doing when you are speaking or writing or even thinking? We're casting spells because our energy field is expansive and connects with other people. So whether or not there's even the spoken word, there is a spell being cast. And so I decided to, with the dowsing, investigate what effect words had on people. I was curious if words like weak, W-E-E-K, and weak, W-E-A-K, if because their homophones and sound the same as each other, would they have the same effect on the energy field? And, excuse me, when the person that I tested for it, first you do a baseline and find out just as they are, just standing there, where their energy field is, what the expanse of it is, because it's like a bubble at 360 degrees around you, and it expands and contracts literally with the speed of thought. So I put WEEK on a small erasable board and handed it to the person so that they didn't get to see what word was on it, but the rest of the class that I was teaching could see what was on the board. So I tested WEEK, and it tested WEEK, and it tested the same as the initial gauge of where his energy field actually was. And then I took the board from him, showed him what was on it, erased it, and put WEAK on it and put it back in his hands. And he has no idea this whole time what words I'm writing on this board until after the test. So I put on WEAK, and it reduced his energy field down to at least half, if not a little bit more. Wow. Just with changing an A on an erasable board that he had no conscious knowing about.
Right. Because it's a whole different thought process.
Yeah, our energy fields are coherent, so the person doesn't need to know, but their energy responds to it because what they're holding in their hands is literally within their energy field and therefore discernible by their energy field, even if they're not conscious of it. So I tried things like C's, S-E-E-S, S-E-A-S, and S-E-I-Z-E, since they all sound the same. And I tested on a couple different people. One, it was the same level for all three, and it reduced his energy field significantly. Another person, S-E-E-S and S-E-I-Z-E, both tested as contractions, but S-E-A-S was fairly positive. You know, maybe she really likes being by the water. I don't know what the difference is there, but it was just satisfying my own curiosity and showing other people as well. So right. I tested things like the word harmony and then an oil blend called harmony. And the energy level for both was exactly the same. So that makes me think that things like essential oils, if I didn't have what it was I wanted, I could ask for the essence of that and just hold that and take on that energy. Because if it can be written on a piece of paper and holds the same influence over the energy field as the actual substance, then they're interchangeable.
Right.
So my next inspiration was to write on the board what I say to myself regularly. And every person that I have done that for and put the words in their hands, it shrunk them right down to where I just about poked them with the dowsing rods because they had drawn their energy in so close. And they would look at the words and go, and just realize that they shrunk themselves down so much because they say this to themselves on a regular basis. And one of the people was willing to share what his inner narrative was because he was injured by a hepatitis vaccine. And he said, I tell myself I'm too stupid to have functioning kidneys. I said, can that possibly be true?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, you know, your kidneys are run by your intellect? And he's like, well, no. I said, okay, so what's the value of saying that? How about we switch over to this? So I would then write, I love myself on the board, hand it to the person, test them again. Generally, it tripled their energy field from what their original was, not from the contraction that they went to with their inner self narrative, but from what their baseline was in the very beginning, generally tripled out from that. And then the same person will look at the board and go, same exact reaction, because I looked at one of my friends and said, do I need to say more? Or do you understand the effect that you're having on yourself and the choice that you have to make? Because whatever you think, you are inflicting on yourself first. So if you know, people go around saying GD this, and then, oh, feel damned the next thing they know. Well, you asked for it. People just don't think that their words are powerful. But in the beginning is the word. Sound creates, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And and people should be aware of the words that they cast and the heart that they cast it from, the intention. Let's just say the words are the substance and the intention is the trajectory of the arrow, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I found it was pretty interesting.
We got a caller, you guys.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, we got a caller. Susan, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, Dan, and whoever else is there. I'm sorry, I missed
you. Didn't do that.
Bud and Vicky.
Hi, Susan. Great. Thank you. So, Dan, I really appreciate Romans 13 and your teaching on that. That really helps, and it makes it so much clearer. But, you know, we've all kind of suffered under those who have misused those words. And I just wanted to say about the homeschooling and tutoring part. You know, I've been tutoring for, about 30 years and was a high school and college teacher before that as well. So, I still love it. I mean, it's just wonderful. And if we can get ourselves together as a clan or tribe, you know, we can have people, including myself and others, who can capably teach and bring up our children in new ways that aren't in just, you know, under that pall that is cast by the school system and its curricula. You know, we can do something totally new and different and far, far better when we're together, you know, in community. And I also love Dr. Emoto's work, and it is so indicative. And, you know, I don't know whether you've seen also a sort of tray that on which people put sand, and then they shake the tray as a mechanism underneath is shaken at a particular frequency, a certain number of cycles per second. And, you know, every frequency or, you know, produces a completely different pattern, of a geometric pattern in that sand, just like the water samples of Dr. Emoto produced these different patterns. So, our thoughts and intentions, our words and our prayers really make a huge difference. They resonate in the universe first, as you say, in us, and then that spreads out to others. And I wanted to say in this regard, you know, I had, like you, Dan, been looking, you know, for a place where many of us could gather as a community, either for temporary stays or kind of semi-permanently or whatever. And, you know, we have found another place now that you, like, I know that you like one, Dan, and I see that the price on that one, thankfully, has gone down a bit. And we have another one as well. So I just wanted to invite anybody who wants to find out more about this, feel free to call me, 321-250-3282.
Would you repeat that, please, Susan?
Sure. 321-250-3282. And don't call me during this call because I want to be here on the phone.
Oh, we're here too.
Are you in Florida as well, Susan?
I am, but feel free to call up until midnight. How about that?
Susan, can I say thank you for your service?
You're most welcome.
You sound like a person who has taught consciously. And I have family in Florida, and whether I do or not, we need your service. People that obviously care about what they're doing and are informed beyond the box.
Thank you.
See, I like to think outside the box, because once you're outside the box, there's no place for a label, is there?
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, this semester I'm teaching, and all year I'm teaching pre-calculus, for example. And I have a whole new take on all of this, because I understand how the way of thinking, that goes into pre-calculus, which on so many levels is absolutely beautiful and applicable to the world, is at the same time it kind of takes our mind a certain direction such that we miss all of the rest on the other side. Mm. And so, you know, this is the first time that I've really seen that huge difference. I mean, it's so wonderful when kids can do pre-calc and calculus and so on, but then there's something that they missed, and something in the way that it misleads them unless they're given the whole picture. So it's a whole new area of thought for me at this level of math, too.
Mm. Very good.
Susan, is your phone number viable for sending a text?
No, I'm glad that you asked that. It is a landline. I've never owned a cell phone, never will, never would. phones are horrific. They are the way that people are being drawn.
Respect right there, for sure.
They're being drawn into the Internet of Bodies by way of wireless infrastructures and devices, and it's very insidious. And this is the whole reason, by the way, for the 6-foot social distancing. It was so that the satellites could establish who was who and map who was who with which cell phone. So that, you know, we if you have one, you need to really dispense with it, get all your data into something else, but don't ever use a cell phone. I traveled 4 months of last year. I was on the road steadily all by myself and never wore a mask and never had a cell phone. So actually, I take that back. I did borrow a cell phone from time to time, but otherwise I was fine.
Bless your heart and your fortitude. We need more of that.
And this community that we may be creating, by the way, the property is in Florida, in a beautiful place, and so it's ideal for growing fruit and vegetables and hosting people who perhaps have special sensitivities to electromagnetism or chemicals or noise or whatever. We want to protect our own who are more sensitive, and we want to live more like the Amish and other indigenous ancestors.
Hmm. Now, here we've been shopping Amish and talking to them and finding out how they're making it through these situations. And one that we frequent often said, well, they came through and they tried to talk us into their stuff. And we told them last year that we would shut down our schools for the spring season. But if after that it started to smell like a cow pie, we'd treat it like one. And the state came back a couple of times to try to get the Amish into compliance, and then they quit trying because they're a stable community in concert with each other, and they basically speak with one voice and don't tolerate the state's infringement.
Exactly.
Which is similar to what the PMAs are doing.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why we set up our mission statement, actually mentioning specifically the Amish, because if you look at PA, it actually is, you know, a very vulnerable state. I mean, Philadelphia is in, I spoke with someone who's in South Philadelphia yesterday, and it's just, you know, and my husband was there not too long ago as well, but it's in a horrific state. You know, there's just no prosecution that goes on of crime or anything. It's a mess. And so
I grew up in that area.
Yeah, and I did
just
too.
Just across the river in Deptford, New Jersey, which is right down the street from Camden, New Jersey, which,
it's
really,
worse.
And even back in the day, it was a nasty place.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And so I know all of those areas very well. But the whole, as a state, it is really one of the not so good states around the country. I mean, it's a blue state, unfortunately, that has been driven down and down and down into the gutter. And yet, the Amish are left alone. They are allowed to do their thing and be who they are, and the Pennsylvania government does not mess with them. And
because
they
don't comply, they can't. There's no law that they can. The only thing that they have is our compliance, because
if we just said no, there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. You know, and they can send their Gestapo in, but most of the police officers that I know are getting it now. They know that this is all bull, and they're not enforcing any unconstitutional laws. And you know, with the mask mandates up here, because we're up in New York, like we're hearing stories where a good portion of like half the cops and half the doctors and half the nurses are all quitting because they're not going to do it. And
right.
You know, we're everybody's standing up. Today we were out in the in front of our local legislator building with our signs. There was only four of us out there. We're trying to coordinate with Robert Kennedy's effort to get everybody out.
Worldwide
walkout strike rally. So we were out there. You know, we did it, and we've been doing a lot of that. You know, different meetings that we get to just to just to show support to the people who are on the front lines trying to end this madness. Yeah,
and also to help the people who fancy themselves in power to understand that they need to cease and desist because they're violating their oaths pretty much across the board.
Yep. And Nuremberg 2.0 is right around the corner, and they just don't see it. That's right. You know.
Well, that's okay. They will.
Yep. And you don't see a freight train when it's coming either, but yeah, it's going to hit you.
That's right. Yeah, thank you so much. And by the way, I'm speaking with your New York State legislators usually about twice, three times a week. So we've got some good stuff going for you folks.
Cool.
Good. We've been dealing with our county legislature and are in a group called the Oswego Freedom Fighters that has been organized by Nathan Emmons, who won yesterday in our district. So that's a good thing. We're coming together, and this has given us the opportunity for community that is really necessary at this point.
Yep. And you guys got the community down there. We have a community starting up here. We're going to be growing different things, so we're going to be setting up trade and things like that. Just as long as they don't take our gasoline away, we'll be all right for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking into free energy stuff to get that rolling, too. So if I can get something to move, I'll make it move.
Great.
Very good. Did you have anything else then, Susan?
No, I'm just grateful to be here and listen.
Oh, okay. Now, do you want to stay on and just mute yourself, or how do you want
sure.
to do that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, that way if you want to jump back in, you can just unmute.
Okay, and is it star six again to mute?
Star six, right.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Yep.
And again, anybody else that's on a phone, star six will mute your phone so that there's no background noise, or you can go ahead and blow your nose or whatever you're doing. And when you want to jump back in, you just star six again and toggle yourself back into the call. That's the easiest way to do it. Some people, I guess, have trouble with that sort of thing, but that sounds really good. I'll have to get a hold of Susan and find out more about this, where in Florida she's talking about, because that's, I've got a group of people ready to roll, and a lot of them are family members, to set things up. That's why we're looking into these steel buildings. Some people call them Quonset huts, but I'm talking to representatives of the companies that make those things. And if you want to put stuff up that's fast and easy and relatively inexpensive to create shelters in a short period of time that'll withstand storms and termites and other bugs and things like that, these buildings are phenomenal. So
how would they hang up the snow?
How would they hold up the hurricanes is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. They are rated. I talked to a lady yesterday. These people are out of Virginia. Their buildings have been passed by the Florida legislature or government as being approved for use in all of Florida, which means even down here where it's level three, the highest level, due to hurricanes, their buildings will withstand tornadoes, hurricanes, all kinds of storms. So they're stormproof, they're windproof, they've got a 40-year warranty, You can put them up all by yourself. It's basically like a big tinker toy. You just put a bunch of bolts together, and each little section keeps going up. You literally can make the building any length you want, and they have widths from 15 feet wide to 70 feet wide. And the beautiful part of it is these buildings are typically used as hangars for airplanes because there are no internal support beams. So literally everything under the roof is wide open. Every square foot is usable because the arch of the Quonset is where all the strength is, and it will withhold, like I said, snow. It's got a very high rating for snow loading. They're just amazing buildings. I can see why the military uses them all over the world for hangars and warehouses and machine shops. And you can buy them down at a one or two car garage size if you want to make like a tiny home or a small home with a small footprint and keep your costs down. So, I mean, they're very versatile. You can get them in different colors. And again, once you get the steel structure up, you can do inside anything you want. You can leave it wide open. You can put a second floor on them. You get them tall enough, you can get them 25, 30 feet tall. You could put three levels up in the things. So anyway, something to think about as a possibility down the road if we need to have a, you know, some kind of a structure in order to house people and or equipment and supplies and things such as that.
Yeah.
Well, simplicity, durability, flexibility all need to come back into style.
Yeah. Amen.
Kind of going out with the planned obsolescence is obsolete.
Well, that's why, I had friends and family say, Dan, why in the hell were you looking at Quonsets? They're ugly. I said, they're ugly to you. They're beautiful to me because I'm the guy that has to put the new roof on. I'm the guy that's got to repair the siding. I'm the guy that's got to go underneath the trailer and replace all the plumbing every 15 to 20 years. I'm the guy when the cats get in there and tear up the air conditioning ductwork, I got to crawl on my belly under there and replace the ductwork, okay? So for guys like me, when you can put up a Quonset hut that has absolutely no maintenance to it whatsoever for 40 years, and everything you build inside, you build to your own specs. So if you want to run piping to where it's just below a little cover, so if anything breaks, you just lift the cover and fix it. Now, I got a neighbor right here next to me. I was talking to him. He's got a home close to Miami that is being completely gutted for the plumbing because it came from China. The plumbing has rotted away in his house, so every wall that has plumbing running through it is tore up. So the plumbers can get in there and replace all of his copper piping in his home. And so once they get done with all that copper piping, now they got to come back in. They got to repair all the drywall. They got to remud everything and repaint all of those walls. I'm tired of that. These houses, the way they build them today, they're a money pit. You're constantly buying their crap to try to keep them together where I'm looking at straw-built houses, I'm looking at hempcrete, I'm looking at aircrete, and I'm looking at these Quonsets. I'm looking at all of them. And what we may end up doing is put up the Quonset for the protective shell and then on the inside use hemp and treated wood. That way you don't have any termite problems on the inside either. And hempcrete is a 100% natural anti-bug breathable material, and it's got a high insulation value. So
it lasts longer than concrete, and it doesn't mold.
Exactly. Yeah. It breathes, so you don't have a mold problem ever. You don't have a humidity problem. You don't have a bug problem. I mean, you know, we have some things available to us that we can literally recreate sustainable living, much like the Amish. My grandfather on my dad's side had a Amish barn that he used on his beef cattle farm. And that Amish barn, when I was a boy, I think was over 100 years old. And we used to climb all over that thing. It was as solid 100 years later is the day they built it.
Yep.
And it wasn't until lightning hit it, after I was in my 50s, I think, lightning hit it and caught it on fire, and it finally destroyed it. But up until then, bugs didn't bother it. Weather didn't bother it. I mean, it was built like a tank, and it was made to last. We used to build things like that, and now it's a throwaway society because the merchants, the bankers, and the Zio communists, they want us out there spending our money every other day in their stores. So nothing
it's definitely
is built
unbelievable.
To last anymore.
Yep.
Huh?
It's unbelievable what they're building houses with it. A new housing project went up around the corner from my sister's where I stayed when I first came back from London. And we, you know, us being the firefighters, we go in there and we're checking out, you know, we're seeing the plans. So if we have to go in there and all that. And then we learn that they are constructing the staircases right now, that the egress in and out of the place with highly flammable glue. So if this is like, yeah, back in the day, like in a house that we're living in right now, this is an old house. This is probably an old, I think it's like a shipboard house. But here, like we got, if a fire starts, we got like 10, 15 minutes to get out of this house before it really gets fully involved. We have a better shot of putting it out than we do than having to get out. Now, in one of those houses, you got 8 minutes max. If you knock a candle over, in 8 minutes, the place is fully involved and everybody's toast. Unbelievable.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, and our vehicle situation also, I had a couple of years ago that I needed a jump. I was literally at the town dump where we take our trash, and my car just quit. And I thought I needed a jump. This guy pulled up in a brand new car, was like, oh, I'll jump it for you. Lifted his hood. And couldn't figure out how to get to the battery terminals because everything was so shrouded and so undiscernible to him that he's like, I'm sorry, I thought I could help, but I don't even know how. And I have a sister who for probably 20 years drove a Dodge Dart because she knew how to replace the radiator. She knew how to replace the exhaust system. She knew how to put brakes on it. So she just kept getting that same model of car because she knew she could do the repairs herself. Well, that just doesn't exist anymore because you got to have a computer. You got to have, you know, and all it takes is one glitch and, oh, wow, you need this big, you know, whatever. And two catalytic converters. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, the prices for repairs are ridiculous.
Well, that's why one of my dreams, if we ever get our community going, is get some of the guys that are good with metalworking and mechanics, and we're going to invent the same thing the Germans did with the Volkswagen. We're going to go backwards and put together a very simple car that gets you from A to B with no frills, no computers, none of the other bullshit on it. You know, and here's how the merchants get you, okay? This just happened to me. The car battery died while I was at the airport. Of all places, I'm at the airport. I shut the car off. I'm waiting for the flight to come in. So the battery is dead. So I got all the way to the airport on the alternator because the battery no longer works. So the last start was when I started it up in the morning to go to the airport. So I get there. So now you got this disaster to find somebody that can give you a jump. I get all the way back. Home finally after a nice guy gave me a jump. So I take the battery out and I go to where I bought it. Good old Wally World, otherwise known as Walmart. So I go to Wally World. I said, hey, this battery is less than 3 years old. It's a full refund. Oh, we don't carry that anymore. I said, well, you carry the equivalent except the terminals are reversed. Well, yeah, but we don't carry that one anymore. I said, okay, well, then how about giving me my money back? Oh, no, we can't do that. I said, what? So they said, well, the machine told us that the battery's bad, but you can only get an exchange. I said, okay, so then exchange it. Well, no, we don't carry it anymore. So I'm going with these low IQ employees back and forth. It's like America, when it was Christian, and small mom-and-pop stores, I remember as a boy, somebody would have come behind the counter out and said, this is obviously bad, and give the guy his money back or whatever. It's not his fault that we stopped carrying the battery. Instead, today, the low IQ people they hire at Walmart, especially here in South Florida, all they could do is read what the machine was telling them, and that says to exchange the battery. And they don't have any clue what you do when the battery's not available. They couldn't get past that point. Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable. I said, well, you've got the equivalent battery with the terminals on the other ends. I said, why don't you give me the price of that one? Oh, no, we can't do that. We have to give it to you. I said, but you don't carry it. Right. So basically, you're screwed. So I go to Napa, and I told Napa I will come to the professionals from now on, and I will never buy another auto part at a Walmart. In fact, I won't buy anything at Walmart if I can help it.
We're only in that store if we absolutely have to. Yeah, and yeah, we just don't support big business anymore. We haven't since the start of this scandemic.
Exactly.
We've never put a mask on as well. We've gone everywhere. We've found places that won't harass us, and we stuck by them. There's one little grocery store that we go to. Sure, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's a lovely Mennonite couple, and they got three kids that are free range in the store, and we enjoy going there, and we enjoy supporting them. So,
exactly.
And then it's part of that community that we're building. You know, all of us we're getting together, we're saying goodbye, and again, that's where to throw back into our PMAs and private education associations, that's the perfect example of the need for that. Because these kids that are getting jobs in Walmarts, they're fresh out of high school. They should know a little bit, you know. And some of these kids are coming out of there with college, you know, they're taking four more years of college, coming out with this, like, let's put this in air quotes, a degree, and thinking they can make all this money, and they're still flipping burgers at McDonald's, you know. And they ain't got – there's absolutely zero – intelligence there. You know, they might have some book smarts, but there's no intelligence at all. It's just regurgitation. You know, I think we talked about the kid we met at the lake a couple weeks back, where, you know, we were trying to explain to him that, you know, if there really was a pandemic, then the overall death number should have jumped by the amount of deaths that they said that we have that are dying from this new disease, but it didn't. You know, and then he tried to explain to me that because the peak happened in between two reporting seasons, that flattened the curve out. I said, so there was never any peak then, was there? And then he attempted to explain that one away, and I just had to walk away at that point. I just couldn't take it anymore. You know, I can only take stupidity for so long, you know, and then that's it.
Oh, man. You're
one
right.
One of my favorites is when I'm in the presence of a cashier. And the bill was $16.25, so I give, and they have signs up that say, we need ones, we need fives, we need rolled change. So the bill's $16.25, I give them $21.25, and they look at me and say, I said it was $16.25. Yeah, and therefore you can give me a five back. It's just too far for them to make the expanse, and it's really alarming that they can be apparently that intelligent. And today, this has nothing to do with intelligence, but we were out on the street corner with our stand up for our freedom signs. I'll call it that because we're not anti anything. But this college student came up to us and asked if she could talk to us and asked if she could interview us a little bit on camera and take some snapshots and that for the campus news. And we said, sure, absolutely, we'll talk to you. And the flag that we had is the American peacetime civil flag. And in the conversation, I said, okay, you're in college. Can you identify this flag? Have you ever seen it before? No, I've never seen that flag. I told her what it was. I said, I have had to teach a history professor who teaches at Lemoyne College and three other campuses in the area that we have a civil peacetime flag. Why do not even the professors in college know that we have a peacetime flag? So we take every opportunity that we can to plant the seeds, especially in young minds, about what has been excluded, about other thought forms about things and about other ways to go about navigating this time. We actually literally, I think it's been since we talked to you last, but literally top five college students down at the lakefront, we had gone for a swim and were heading back, and Bud was talking to these kids and struck up a conversation, and he said, well, should we tone before we go? I said, well, let's ask them. And so one of them opted out, but four of them, to give us a circle of six, we did vocal toning together, which builds a fabric of harmony that is equivalent to what Susan was talking about and what I was talking about with the frequency, because when you see the, you know, the pattern of sand or salt over a speaker, it geometric patterns, and you almost feel that pattern of harmony being built between the people that are involved in the circle. And excuse me, after we did just our standard basic set of tones that we do, Bud and I together just demonstrated for them a different method about it, so they would understand it's not just this, you could also do it this way, just to give them a little bit of expansive thought about it. And one of them recorded it. And about 3 weeks later, my 19-year-old son came to me with his phone and said, Mom, what's this? Because one of the young men had recorded us and put it on an Instagram channel, and it had over 700 views when I saw it. So I was really happy with the opportunity to put that into a college venue just to set ample, so people will be like, oh yeah, saw a video about that once or whatever, just to plant the seed that harmony can be created with your own voice, with your own full expression. Because to me, we are the vehicles and the expressions of God, and that when we open our voices authentically and escape the words, because I think a lot of the words have been misused, mm-hmm. and miswritten and manipulated, etc. And because of things like what I was talking about with the dowsing, you know, why should pair be P-E-A-R, P-A-I-R, and P-A-R-E, and you don't know unless it's written down necessarily or in context what the person's trying to say. Our language is set up to confuse and manipulate. And when you escape the words into harmonic tones, you can really open up and express fully and just really let your heart out. And especially when you do it with other people, it can be really effective for an intention, and it can be really therapeutic for everybody involved. And Bud and I have been toning before our feet even hit the floor in the morning every day since May, since we were inspired to start with this, and have been teaching others and teaching couples who are now making a habit of starting their day in harmony. And I've gotten reflections back that, you know, if I don't tone in the morning, I'm more irritable, I have a quicker temper, things don't go as well. You know, so thank you so much for teaching that to me in such a way that it was understandable and I could make it mine. And this was a couple that I taught to tone. I was officiating their wedding, and when we planned their ceremony, I wanted to teach them to tone before we parted company. And they, you know, reflected back and just said, wow, that's, you know, on the way to work in the morning, maybe in the shower, wherever you feel inspired to just really open your voice, because we've been so stifled with putting these masks on. And when we were more tribal, or we had our clans or whatever it was, there's a fire in the evening and there was dancing and celebrating if there was something wonderful going on, and if there was something horrific that happened, there was wailing and grieving that we did together. And the fabric of our humanity has literally been ripped to shreds by these deceptions and lies and ideas that have been implanted like they're parasites to just tap off our life force. And it's my particular opinion that we need to take harmony back quite consciously and come together. And whenever I teach a class now, before we part company, we tone together. Sometimes we'll open the class with tone. If we get together with any other people that know about it, and especially if people don't know about it, to teach them about the value of it and allow them the feeling of it, of standing together with at least two other people. And opening our voices and really just rejoicing in it and coming together in harmony and how that works and how it feels. And the looks on people's faces, they're like, oh, my God, I didn't know this was even available and that it could work that way. And it makes me feel like a glass of champagne on the inside. It feels so good. I'm like, okay, do it in the car all the way home. Do it in the shower when you get there. Just do it. Open your voice and take back the authenticity of your own expression in full voice, because it's literally transformative.
Amen. Oh, a good book, by the way, dealing with what you're talking about, casting of spells and changing vocabulary and meanings, etc. I came across this book years ago. It's called Doublespeak, From Revenue Enhancement to Terminal Living, How Government, Business, Advertisers, and Others Use Language to Deceive Us, by William Lutz, copyright 1989. So anybody out there that has a hard time finding it, if you contact me, I'll send you an electronic version of it until you can locate a hard copy. But there's several other books I could mention out of my list. I've got a 64-page long list of the books I've found over the years that talk about all these things that we're talking about. So it has not been a kept secret out there. This information has been presented by author after author after author. It's just that we've been so busy having a gay old time and ignoring what's going on around us that now we're in deep doo-doo and everybody's scrambling, anybody that's smart enough anyway, is scrambling for information and to find out what the hell's going on. But yeah, they've been using language and doing word magic and spell casting and enchantment and things like that to us for a very long time, just like we talked about in Romans 13. That's deceptive. When a preacher or a priest or a pastor gets up in front of his congregation, most of them are whores today, most of them are prostitutes, but if he gets up there and tells his congregation that our job is to obey the authorities and leaves it at that without reading two verses down, where it is clear as a bell that the only authorities I owe my allegiance to are those who implement God's law. That's it. If they're not doing that, I don't owe them anything. I don't owe them tax money. I don't owe them allegiance. And they sure as hell don't have my consent.
Yeah, Pastor Greg Locke, have you heard of him?
Greg Locke, no. How does he spell it?
L-O-C-K-E, I think.
Yeah.
And that boy, he's on fire for the Lord. He has not shut his church down. He is preaching. He is, I tell you what, I love him because he tells you where's your faith? Yeah, if you're putting a mask on your faith, you have no faith. You're not a pastor. Get off the pulpit. And he just goes at him. He's brilliant for that.
Like, I'm not going to close up.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to your threats. I don't care. I got the armor of God on and carry on.
Yeah.
If you want to come to our service, you do it and see. No.
He's in Tennessee, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
What you were saying about, that the information is out there, I think one of the biggest disservices that has been done to us is that as radio and television came online, number one, it's hiding the radio frequencies that are affecting everybody's health and actually driving some of the pandemics that are reported to us. But it's also distracting us and keeping us from doing the things like, reading a book that used to be prevalent, because when you were raised in such a way that adventures and information and inspiration was in books, then you at least stood more of a fair chance of coming across these things. But when you're looking into a screen that is meant to be inviting, enticing, draws in your attention and takes it from you, to where life's going on around you and the house could be burning down and you're going, what? What? After this commercial. You know, wait till the commercial. And people don't realize that it's television and that the programming is happening to us. They make it sound like it's the television programs and this is our program. Yes, it's our programming. We are all MK Ultra'd.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 point whatever of the population doesn't even have a clue about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what proves that to you is here in Florida, we have a government here who has basically gone to war with Washington, D.C. over these mandates. We have a government here who's basically seceding from the union, effectively establishing our republic, okay? So even with all of that, plus all of the truthers, all of the information, a governor, a lieutenant governor, and an attorney general, even threatening to fine businesses if they push the mandates, and yet you have areas in Florida, especially down here in the southeast where the IQ level's probably about 15 points lower than average, you got these people running around still driving their cars all by themselves with a diaper on. Now, fortunately, a lot of the businesses have backed off because of the threat of being sued by the state. But you still have people going in, putting a diaper that does absolutely nothing for them, and that's provable. And yet these people do it. It's because they watch the television. They are under a spell. And that
I have to save my grandma. My grandma might be sick. Well, my grandma's dead. Well, to somebody's grandma, you know.
It's TV programming. It's proof that what you're saying is true. Yep. All they can
MK Ultra, no, it's Project Mockingbird. That's the one we're looking at. Project Mockingbird.
Right.
Yeah, look up that one. And anybody who's not familiar with Project Mockingbird, check that one out. That's pretty good. But here's an interesting thought for you. You know the Bible really well, and so I got a question to ask you: is where did the Bible's name come from? Because when words are really important, what do you have there but you buy bull, you know? It's like it's been translated a few times, and I know it's God's word, and I know, you know, and all that, but man translated it, and not all men have their best intentions in mind, you know?
First of all, Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, and biblos just means book. Because in the early centuries after Christ, the only people that could afford a Bible were rich, or I mean a book of any kind, because they all had to be hand copied, were only rich people. And so the scriptures became known as the book. The most bought and owned book on earth has been what we call the Bible. So they called it Ha Biblos. In the Greek, just means the book. And when you get from Greek to English, it becomes the word Bible. But the word in the scriptures, especially the Septuagint and all the Greek texts, the word that was translated word is logos, which where we get the word logic from. And it basically means the spoken word or a plan. It never meant something with pages in it, okay? So today's preacher stand there with this thing called the King James Version and wave it around like Jimmy Swaggart did. This is the inerrant word of God. I'm sorry.
That's where you're buying bull at that point, I think.
That's bullshit. Yeah. That is bullshit because
what Christ did,
he had the spoken word. He didn't hand out pieces of paper. He didn't tell people to turn to chapter and verse. He spoke the truth. He spoke.
He also didn't tell them to turn on their neighbor.
Exactly. So it's two things. Halagos is not only the spoken word, But when it talks about the halagos of theo, which is of God, theos, it's talking about his plan. So when it says the word was with him from the beginning, it's actually saying the plan was with our Father in heaven from the beginning. It wasn't spoken at that point. It was a plan. So everything that's going on here, even though people have a really hard time with this because of death and disease and violence and all that, they go, well, how can that be a loving God's plan? Well, let's look at it in a microcosm. I'm the father of 6 and grandfather of 14. I love every one of those children. Okay? Mm-hmm. I love them. I gave them a set of instructions, and I turned them loose into a world, just as Christ said, I'm sending you out amongst wolves. Okay? I armed them with the truth that I knew, but if they decide to go down the aisle of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sex abuse, all these different roads they can go down. Is that God's fault? Is that my fault that my children chose mm-hmm. a different path? If they decide to eat shit food and do nasty things to their bodies, is that me, their creator's fault? No. I created them. I raised them. I gave them the law because out of love for them, I told them the truth of the world as I knew it. I told them the things to stay away from. But sometimes we don't listen very well, do we? Yep. And so when travesty happens, everybody wants to point a finger at the Father above when they should be looking in the mirror and pointing the finger at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you point your index finger, you're pointing 3 right straight back at yourself.
That's right.
It is interesting that when they did convert the when they did translate the name to English, that they didn't use anything else but Bible, you know? And, yeah, to use that term, it's just, yeah, because words are important. But I know that the King James Version, there's missing a whole lot of stuff, because we do listen to Trey Smith, who does God in a Nutshell. Mm-hmm. He's got some really good videos about the different books of the Bible and the Book of Enoch and that the Nephilims, or I can't even pronounce some of the stuff.
Nephilims,
and you know, he does really good, and he breaks things down right to ancient Greek and things like ancient Hebrew.
Original Hebrew
and things like that. So he's a real fascinating one to watch as well.
Right. And a lot of people, that was my first, as soon as I learned the identity message, the first thing I started getting into was the Hebrew and the Greek, because it answered so many of the questions I had, even as a young boy in the Methodist Church. I would always mm-hmm. ask them about some of the commandments and all. I said, they don't make sense. And nobody would ever answer my question. And it wasn't until I got my first concordance when I was in my 30s, and in the back of a concordance is a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary that's tied to the Strong's numbers. And I started doing some rudimentary research, and I found answers to lots of things. Like, why does it say thou shalt not kill? That's ridiculous. We execute prisoners. We kill an enemy if we're at war. If you break into my house, I'm going to put a bullet in you. So obviously I'm going to kill you.
We kill animals if we want to eat meat.
We kill animals. So what you find out is that's a mistranslation. What the word actually said was, thou shalt not commit murder. Murder is the shedding of innocent blood. Okay, so when you execute a criminal, that's not murder. When a soldier's coming at me from a communist nation with a bayonet on his rifle trying to kill me and I shoot him, that's not murder. And, you know, that.
Does a hypodermic needle count as a bayonet? Just asking for a friend.
Well, in my definition, it's like John Locke said a long time ago, anybody trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Anybody trying to inject a poison into you is your mortal enemy. They are trying to do harm to you. You, therefore, have the God-given right of self-defense. By whatever means you determine to do that self-defense, that's a personal choice. But we're not under any moral obligation to allow bureaucrats, people in uniform, to inject the poison in our children or us. There is no moral obligation to do that. In fact, if you truly read the scriptures, You are under the obligation to protect your loved ones at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's why when they removed the religious exemption for vaccination in New York State, I took my son out of school, even though he was a senior scholar athlete, because
oh, wow.
He was college bound. He got his varsity letter when he was in eighth grade. He is the fastest runner on the track team here, and that's the same track team that his grandfather was on back in the 30s, and or 20s, actually. And it broke my heart to have to take him out of school, but no. There wasn't any way, since I stopped vaccinating him as soon as I understood that there was a better alternative and started using essential oils as our medicine. He has not had a doctor visit since he was 2 years old. He's now 19. He's strapping and healthy, except he's going through his junk food phase right now. Hmm. And, you know, and then he'll say, Mom, I need a salad. Of course you do. You've been swilling junk, you know, and you're free to choose. But you are not free from the consequences of your choice. So if you're feeling crappy, no, because that's what you put in there, garbage in, garbage out, just like your computer.
Mm.
And that's how it goes.
Yep.
But we have to stand up. I mean, when we went to the Board of Education in the same school, I stepped up to the microphone to speak to the board and said, I have been helping people heal for over 40 years, and I can tell you that what you've chosen in putting those masks on your face is you have chosen to indicate that you have given up your right to speak, because that is a slave humiliation ritual. And since you have chosen that and you have given up your voice, then you have nothing to say over any living being. So I'm going to speak to the people here who have power, and turned around to the audience and said, parents, grandparents, get your children out of this school, because number one, I did, and number two, they've already shown you what they will do. They have shown you that they will forsake their oath, that they will not uphold yours or your children's constitutional rights, that they will not act in the capacity that they were elected to act, and they will respond to their puppet strings at all costs. So if you surrender your children to these people who have already shown you they are not trustworthy, then you will deserve the consequences that you reap from that.
Yep. Amen. Bravo. Yep.
Yeah, it actually got written up in a news article that I said slave humiliation ritual to the board, which I was glad it got out there in front of people's eyes. Understand, this is not just a casual thing. They are shutting down your voice. They are limiting you of the very air you get to breathe and making you think it's a privilege, which is no more godly or responsible and no more a virtue signal than Nestle Company saying that clean water is not a human right.
Mm. Right.
Balderdash. Yeah.
Well, hopefully there is a sign of an awakening within the people. It's certainly not going to be a government solution, because the government created a lot of these problems. So it's the people taking up and taking control back. And there are some signs of that starting to happen. One thing, I use JumpShare when I want to share a large file with people. And I've been doing it since September or October. And normally I send out either a very patriotic type song or an article, or like somebody like you, Vicky, speaking before a board and telling them what they need to hear. And it'll get maybe, I think the best one I had was like 290 views. I sent the one out that was talking about our father's name in the DNA and how what they're doing and all is trying to suppress his glory. I got over 3,000 views.
Nice.
So all the other stuff I've ever put up, like I said, I was lucky if 100 to 150, 190 people would listen to it or download it. This thing went out, and in less than a week, it had over 3,000 people look at it and absorb the information that was in that short video. So I think that's indicative that I think the people realize this is a spiritual war. They need to get back on solid ground morally and realize that that's what we're in, a spiritual war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've seen the signs everywhere. It took a long time for people to start to understand and right themselves consciously about the direction that things were going. But when people start losing their jobs and when their kids are repeatedly masked for no reason and when the officials are not doing what they are designating that others are to do, which that's one of the things I would like to see happen in this county, is to get rid of our public health director, because he has no connections to this county before he was appointed. His last name is Wong, and he doesn't follow his own edicts. And he put on a plan August 9th and said, oh, the children will have to be fully masked when they go back to school, and all adults in any public space should be masked and social distanced. And he didn't wear a mask and walked right up to have a conversation with me and one of the other people in our group, shook hands, and stood within 3 feet of each other having a conversation. And then when she said, well, we can't be mandating something that's experimental, he said, no, it's not experimental. It's the result of 30 years of mRNA research. I said, for this novel virus? And he said, oh, everybody has their opinion. I'm sorry, I asked you a valid question. You're the public health director. You don't get to just say, I'm opinionated. Clearly, I was asking for yours. If you can't even identify a valid question, where are we going from here?
Hmm. Well, he's a communist. Yeah, he's a communist.
You think? No. No, Xi Jinping, I think his name is. What was his name?
John Cheng Wong is his name. And when I looked at his bio, it said, oh, having grown up in a developing country, and I thought, developing what? Bioweapons? China's been developed for a long time. He looks for all the world. I'm not the least bit racist. I'm the last racist person on the planet. It's not about that at all. It's about the fact that you carry on with these rules for children, which clearly aren't based on science, that are clearly just following the puppeteers, and that have absolutely nothing to do with creating, sustaining, or uplifting public health. And, the BS meter goes off and blinks like a strobe light. And when I said something about it in the local forum on, you're from Oswego, oh my goodness, people went through my profile to find, because I said something about, I posted something 11 months before about my God was much more powerful than any mask. And somebody came back at me and was like, oh, see, she believes in a fictional person. I said, do you think God's a person? I'm sorry. She's like, oh, well, I'll pray for you. She's like, I don't want anything to do with your God. I'm sure that should you find yourself in the valley of the shadows like I did, that God will carry you out just like he did me. Oh, I want nothing to do with your God. Please, people, the level, I just can't. I just can't.
Right. It's kind of funny. Everybody, I've heard lots of people say, well, I can't believe in a vengeful God or a God that would do this or do that. And yet again, look at the microcosm, okay? What does the word say about parents that won't punish their children? You spoil the child, okay? So what makes anybody that's an adult think that the creator who put us here, who is, quote, the father, he has no right to punish us? They think that there's no punishment that comes from bad behavior and allowing bad things to happen. There's no consequences for these decisions. I mean, people just don't have
my opinion on that one.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, my opinion on that one is, like, God the Father, like, he's not actually going to get the whip out and whip you blind. He's going to let you be stupid and get hurt. And then you got to figure it out for yourself. Like, because one of my comedy skits, it's about bacon, right? And the main thing is, it's like, I don't know about you, but, you know, if they call God the Father, right, I don't know any father anywhere that's going to send their child to hell and damnation for all eternity for eating a slice of bacon. You know, now, he might get the naughty step if it's the last slice, but not all eternity. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Well, I think natural consequences take care of themselves pretty much, because you act out in your own circle among your own peer group, and they will adjust you accordingly. And we kind of have a self-balancing situation, and we bear the consequences of when we do things that are wrong, inconsiderate, etc. And even if it doesn't look like there are consequences on the outside, there are consequences to our heart and to our being and how mm-hmm. we move forward in life. And I don't think there's actually any escape from that. It doesn't need to be inflicted on us by others, but it'll come from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's like when I teach about the food laws, I tell people, I said, you can eat anything you want. You're not going to cause me to lose any sleep. I'm simply going to tell you what I learned in natural health classes and what the scriptures tell you are the clean and unclean foods. What you do about it, mm-hmm. your business. I can tell you what they taught us in class. I can tell you what my own research and my own health as a consequence of cleaning up my act has done, and many other people that I know. But here again, it's like my naturopathic doctor tells me, I lay the gift on the table. What you do with it is up to you. Mm-hmm. My job is just to put the gift on the table. That's knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's wisdom. That's not only the scriptures, but common sense and natural health. Certain animals are meant to be consumed. Some are not. Typically, scavengers. Mm-hmm. Scavengers are not to be consumed. Why? Because their body makeup is completely different than the clean, like a deer or an antelope or a buffalo. Completely different. And people just don't seem to get it. And part of the reason the world is getting polluted is because we're eating the garbage men. We're eating the shrimp and the clams and the lobsters that God put here to clean up the debris on the bottoms of the oceans and the waterways. We're eating them as food when that's not what they are intended to be. Now, again, people can go do whatever they want. I'm just simply telling you what I have found out. And it makes perfect sense. And every natural class I went to, the instructors verified what the word says about what you should and should not be eating to a T. Even rabbits. I grew up on a farm where guys would hunt on our property, and they would get rabbits, and sometimes they'd share them with us and all. I only remember eating it one time. But I come to find out from natural class and the Bible that the hare or a rabbit is not to be eaten. And in the natural health classes, I found out why. Because they are full of parasites. That's why even in the day when I lived on the farm, the hunters only hunted rabbits in the winter. Why? Because the cold weather put the parasite level at the lowest level. But they still had parasites. But it was lower. Mm-hmm. It was more tolerable. So the rabbit, by its nature, is embedded with many, many parasites, such as same thing with pork. So, again, I put the information out there just because I care about health, and I have lived to see the benefits of obeying the laws, and many of the people I know have had that same thing. And my mother and others who grew up eating pork had crippling arthritis when she was only in her early 60s. She could barely move her hand. And again, what the health class teacher told us is that there's a, I can't remember the name of the compound, but it crystallizes in the joints in human beings. So my grandfather and my mother's family ate lots and lots of pork. And consequently, like I said, my mother could barely move her hands when she was only 62, 63 years old with crippling arthritis. So people could say, well, it's just a coincidence. Huh?
If you don't know what your choices are, it's hard to make a free will choice.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, you're free to choose. But what if you're not given all the choices?
Mm-hmm.
What if you're not given all the information? And I think that's been part of the mechanism that we're suffering under at this point, is that there has been a concerted effort to kill wisdom. and to dumb down the population. So they'll just follow along because they don't know any better. Because grandma can't tell them. She's already been in a nursing home and long since lost her mind and isn't available anymore. Like my parents and my aunt that were born back in the 19 teens, they all died with a steel trap for a brain because they were raised more naturally on the farm, growing their own produce and, you know, living much more naturally. And they didn't have any issues with dementia. My father had a heart condition, but I think that was exacerbated by the fact that my mother was told to feed him oleomargarine, you know, and all these different things that were not health advice. They were medical advice that would keep him a patient of the medical industrial complex, which he had 6 heart attacks before he died. So if he was given actual health information and allowed to follow that, instead of being given misinformation through the 60s and 70s that would just drive his condition further into the dirt in the name of medical advice, it's been disgusting to me for so long. I watched my mother be killed by anesthesia she was allergic to. My brother was mistreated in cancer treatment, got a hospital-borne infection because of how they were doing their procedures that I got to witness personally. But what are they doing? To a layman, I know what they're doing is wrong, and they're still doing it. And then when I was in the hospital with sepsis myself, when I got fully cognizant of what was going on, I called a friend at 4 a.m. and said, let me tell you what's happening, because when they find out what I know, it's going to be less expensive for them to kill me than to let me out of this hospital after I had witnessed what they really do.
Right.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't gotten better.
No.
It's only gotten more and more ridiculous. My best friend was a nurse, and she was taking care of critical care patients, and she had 6 patients under her purview, and then they changed hospital policies, and all of a sudden she had 12 patients to care for as you're having to learn the computer system and all this other paperwork that's necessary, et cetera. And she quit. She said, I'm not going to do a job that can't be done. You cannot give even reasonable, let alone good care, to 12 critical care patients at the same time as one nurse. Cannot be done.
Right. Yep. But
that was decades ago.
That's the paradigm shift when hospitals used to be a building with people that cared about people's health. They became an institution of finance, and the owners wanted to turn a profit. That's what happened. Just like
it became medical industrial complex.
Right, exactly. It's all about money. It's all about profit. And that's what's wrong today.
Turning into modern day Auschwitz with new protocols.
Right. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it's the society all over the earth today. People are doing what they're doing for money. Why are nurses and doctors following these idiotic protocols? Because the government's putting money in their pockets. Why are they intubating people with ventilators when 80% are never going to come back? Because people are giving them money. Why do policemen pull people out of their cars because of the IRS or because of a mask or whatever? Because people are paying them to do it. They love the money more than doing the right thing. And that's the moral dilemma that the people on this earth are facing today. At what point does money lose its value? Is there anything that you wouldn't do for money? I'm beginning to think there's nothing for some of these people, literally nothing. If you said, I want your daughter and I'm going to pimp her out and I'll give you $10,000, they would sell her.
Okay.
Oh, we've seen it happen for less.
Yeah.
It's like these people have no moral backing whatsoever.
Dan, are you aware of Dr. David Martin?
Yes.
I was just watching one of his videos, excuse me, before we came on the show, and I did a screenshot of something that he quoted, It is from developing MSPMs. Oh, what does it stand for? Medical. I can't say what it stands for. But this quote says, this mandatory injection was planned in 2005 by the COVID RICO conspirators. And this is a quote, until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase public understanding of the need for its medical interventions, is what the MCM stands for, such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
Oh, wow. Good morning.
It's all about the money.
Yep. It's phenomenal to me that there is anybody that still has any idea that this is actually about health.
Hmm.
And a lady that I worked with today, usually she'll have a list of what she wants me to help her out with. And I went to look for the list because she was on the phone, and on the list was booster, question mark, flu shot, question mark, shingle shot, question mark. And she's in her 80s, and I can't even talk to her about it, and it's gut-wrenching.
Oh, wow.
To know, it's like, I come in and you have Catholic Mass on your TV and you're listening to the prayers and you don't even have a concept that there are aborted fetal cells in that injection and you're looking for more and would probably take all three at once. I don't know how she's made it to 84 years old with stage 4 lung cancer diagnosis more than 4 years ago now. Except that I do keep her in essential oils and vitamin C in that, that gives her body a different message. But she won't talk about the mask. She gets upset if you try to talk about masking. And if I tried to tell her about these vaccines, she'd probably fire me. And she really needs my help. It's just phenomenal to me the level to which relationships have been broken. But at the same time, it really shows us what is real. And we know who is there in our lives in a steadfast way and who's willing to tell us that they're not allowed at, we're not allowed at their wedding because we're not fully vaccinated.
Wow.
People would we would never have suspected or expected would have anything to do with it in the first place and then are turning and inflicting it on others. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, we're coming to visit. This isn't my personal story, but somebody shared. It's like my relatives are coming from Vermont to visit, except they won't come to see me because I'm not fully vaccinated, but the next day they're going to this botanical show with thousands of people, but they won't come to see me at my home.
Right. There's no logic.
There isn't. It's a psychosis.
Right. Yep. It's a mental conditioning. It's obviously brainwashing at the highest level. And we've been saying it for years. And I turned my television off back in the early 2000s. And it was the greatest thing I ever did. I sleep better. Nerves calm down. I mean, television is useless. The only thing I use it for is for an occasional movie I might watch or an educational DVD. But that's it. Other than that, it just sits there. But it's just like people talking about cell phones, and we need to get out of this electronic tracking system that Babylon's created. And television is probably the worst thing that was ever put upon man. It's turned out to be the worst thing. It's just got
that
people
and grocery stores.
Yeah. Well, you know that the television is patented as an entertainment device, so they are under no obligation to tell the truth whatsoever.
Right. Not only that, but government passed laws that says that the American people are allowed to be propagandized and lied to.
Yep.
So we have treason.
Thanks, Obama.
What's that?
I said, thanks, Obama.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been doing things to us for a very long time. I knew that when I was in the Air Force. The public didn't know the things that we knew, and the media was lying to everybody back then. And then I got into nuclear power. It was the same thing. The media was filling the people's heads with total bullshit. I just throw up my arms, you know. And then when my and I think Bud will remember this, when Danny got stabbed, my son, on the school bus, that whole incident, when it was reported in the local news, they had it all wrong. Totally wrong.
That's when I stopped watching news. I was involved in three different stories, and not one of them was reported correctly. I said, they can't even do this in the local Syracuse network. Then what kind of hope do we have for national news? I stopped watching Good Morning America and all that stuff.
Right. Yep. It's all programming, as you said. It's it's mental conditioning. It's propaganda. There's no facts in it. It's whatever they need to twist our minds to get us to go the direction they want us to go. We're being herded like animals. Gee, I wonder who could be behind that.
They tell us herd immunity and nobody gets it. I have a friend that I've known for more than a decade who I might have mentioned her before, but she's 71 years old and a veteran, a disabled vet. And she was literally born into the Fourth Reich. And she has told me things for years that were not common knowledge, not any parts of mainstream. There might be, you know, like an nth of a percentage of people on the planet that would have any clue of it whatsoever. And she told me last year, she said, you understand, this plan has been, was originally hatched in 1974, as far as this specific PSYOP of this last year and a half. And I thought, 1974, how can that be? And then a couple months ago, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on the Stu Peters show said, I investigated this and I found evidence back to 1974. And I went, ding, 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 we've got a winner. Once again, the things I've been told for the last 63 years. Well, she was sold as a child bride by her own family when she was 7 years old. She was put into the MKUltra program and put into the military. They used her to pass codes, and as an assassin, she was a honeypot. And she had to, once she was disabled and released from the military, she was able to get loose enough to be able to be on her own and get herself out of the programming. They tried to annihilate her memory of everything that she did and that the capabilities that she was given by the MK Ultra, because usually they force them in a direction. That's why she was a code passer, because they would compartmentalize her and would sort of lock up this code in her mind, and then where she was going to be received, give them the key to unlock the code. So there's nothing ever written, nothing that she knew about. She'd just be the carrier for it. And all these manipulations have been, I mean, this is more than the last 60 years, longer than I've been alive, that she's been trying to scream from the rooftops and tell people, and I cannot imagine living the life that she has lived with people telling her, you're crazy, you're stupid, you're a lunatic, you're, you know, whatever, giving her no credence whatsoever when everything that she's told me, little by little, all comes out as true.
Right. Truth is stranger than fiction. Yep.
Oh, it is. It's literally horrific. And when I have people say, oh, well, I just don't buy into all that conspiracy theory stuff, like, well, God bless your granddaughter, because I hope that beauty pageant that she's participating in takes good care of her. Be glad you're not looking for your family members. Because one of our local acquaintances, she was having problems with her eyes one day, and I was doing some Reiki on her eyes, and I said, what is it you don't want to see? And she proceeded to tell me a story about getting a phone call from the police that they had these three children, and she was the emergency contact on the only records that they could find, and the mother wasn't showing up. So she said, well, bring the kids. And they brought the three kids, and One of them was 4, and when she turned 5, they said, oh, they had a birthday party for her, and said, oh, let's take your pictures for your birthday. And she started to take off her clothes and climb up on the kitchen table because that's how she was used to being photographed.
Oh, my gosh.
Before she was 5. And this is 6 years later, and she said now she's taking selfies, pulling her top down, you know, like down just suggestively, and taking selfies, and she's trying to befriend this girl who has come into her school. Her father is a known trafficker, and this girl appears to be his scout, and this, you know, now turning 12 years old, or 11 or 12 years old, is trying to friend her, you know, is trying to be connected with her. And she's tearing apart my house. And I don't, you know, the other kids don't act out as much as this one. She already had 4 kids. Now she's got 7. Because 6 years later, there's no mom. Who knows if mom was trafficked or what happened or what the story of any of it is. But when people are like, oh, yeah, I don't believe in that. Well, bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you get to stay in that ignorance.
Yeah.
But while you don't look, that is children's life. And they think they're in hell. They don't know any different unless we look into the mouth of whatever you want to call this
beast,
abomination. And unless we see that there's a problem, we can't solve the problem. And people that want to bury their heads don't realize, and they're realizing, yes, don't realize that when they bury their heads in the sand that far, they leave their butts exposed and may suffer the consequences along with that. And it'll be the hard way when they least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be able to stand up and put on the armor of God and say, no more for you. You're done now. We'll have no more.
This ends here.
Yep.
No further.
Well, you know, case in point, there was somebody, a gentleman, PhD, that is a very strong patriot veteran out there in Arizona, sent out an email for prayer for people in Arab countries, Christians, who are going to get executed here soon by the Muslims, and he was wanting us to include them in our prayers. I said, well, may I make a suggestion? Why don't we put a righteous army together and go over there and rescue them and kill the communists and the Muslims that are trying to murder them? I said, wouldn't they appreciate that more than just our prayers?
Action.
That's the problem I've seen. In my lifetime, the Christian community wants to pray everything through, when everything I've read in the book and in human nature tells me that it's force. Bad people need to be dealt with force. The Japanese Bushido Code for the samurai, it says the only way to deal with violent men, bad men that are violent, is for good men to be better trained at violence than they are. And that's what the samurai were. That's what the knights were, the Middle Ages, the men that took the oath of chivalry, and they were the knights. Because they were better trained at swords and spears and riding horses than the bad guys. And it was their job to go in there and take them down. The Texas Rangers, same thing. They were better trained than the desperados in Texas and the Badlands. So, again, history and common sense tells you the way you deal with people that are misfits and pedophiles and all these bizarre creatures that are walking amongst us, and we think we're supposed to listen to them. What should happen is righteous men get together and say, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put this rebellion against logic, rebellion against nature, and the God of nature is going to be put to rest. And we're going to go after the ones that are doing the wicked and evil things, and they're going to pay the price for what they do.
Oh, Jesus said, you will do this and more. Who's doing more?
Right.
The other thing I think we need to consider, too, in this whole thing is these children that are being rescued, even as we speak, and that have already been rescued, they're going to need places to go. They're going to need homes with actual families and loving people that aren't there to be their next pimp.
Right.
And we need to take action on things like that, that there are different people that have speculated that, you know, they may be scoping it out to see, you know, like taking the census, you know, okay, there's only three people living in this four-bedroom place. We could place somebody there, you know, and I don't think that the things are in place to do that in particular, but I think that of our own volition, we can come together and make space available and make it known in our community so that good people can help with healing these children, with helping them understand that the way they've been treated doesn't define who they are and that there is hope and life beyond hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, we've almost hit the two-hour mark. I'm starting to get a little droopy-eyed here, so...
yeah, I'm about ready for bed.
Huh?
I'm about ready for bed.
Well, I was going to say for at least tonight, if you guys want to just make some closing comments, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up, and we can always do another one, part two.
Oh, wow.
We can tone for our closing comments here.
Is that all right with you if we do a little quick toning session?
It would be a good example for the people to hear what you're talking about.
It takes 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
The tones that we use are ah, ooh, and om. And we imagine that ah is coming up our spinal column, like raising the kundalini energy. And ooh comes from the heart, like all your desire. And all the connections of the heart. And om comes from the third eye and is reported to be the sound of creation. So we do ah three times, ooh three times, om three times. And we do it holding hands and do it as full breath as we possibly can. And anyone that it resonates with, if you can make it your own, it'll improve your health, improve your demeanor, improve your very breath. That is such a blessing. That is so important at this point in time. So we'll start with a deep breath and then Bud will lead.
It's interesting, as you were doing that, it reminded me of some of the classes I went to, and they talked about the importance of deep breathing and expanding your lungs and how beneficial that is to, so not only the what you're talking about there on a spiritual level and focusing level, but by filling up your lungs and expelling that all that air, it's very, very healthy as well.
Yes, your thoracic duct is between your lungs, and your lymphatic system doesn't have a pump like your vascular system does. So when you expand your lungs to that degree, it helps move everything about your interstitial fluids and all of that, and helps move the garbage out, especially getting yourself moving to start the day, but for the end of your day also. So I'm predicting you're going to sleep better now, Dan. In harmony.
Yeah. One of our clients said that.
Very good.
Said, yep. He said, I ain't going to lie, that felt good.
Right.
That's what how do, we feel about got? It anyway. Anybody that makes it their own is going to be blessed. Yep. Thanks for the opportunity, Dan. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What do you call it again? Vocal what? Toning?
Vocal toning.
Toning.
If you go on YouTube and put in Tibetan chakra toning, it's different than what we did, but it's along the same lines as Randall Monk, which monks do toning like that, so that's kind of ironic. But on YouTube, if you just put in Tibetan chakra toning and look for where it has stripes for the colors and identification for each of the sounds, that's another version that we do also that people can look at on YouTube and check it out and see if that's of interest to them.
Basically, you're using vowel sound, yeah, so instead of words.
Right, exactly. Ah, ooh, and om. Yeah, very good. Very good. As my father used to say all the time, you can't argue with success. So if it's working, you can't argue with it. Whether it sounds weird or it sounds different or it seems strange, I've carried those words of his for my entire life. You can't argue with success. So put all of your premonitions and your prejudices out the window, because it works. Just like natural health and the supplements and the herbs and the tonics, I've been trying to tell my family for years, same thing. You can't argue if it works. I don't have kidney stones because I do the hydrangea or the chaca piedra or sandmat or any of the other herbs that break up stones. So if you guys want to go to the doctor and do lipsotripsy and have them put stents in you and all that other bullshit, well, then go ahead. I would rather drink the tea of the herb and not have to go. I mean, to me, it's
I had kidney stones. I had kidney stones. I dissolved them into Jell-O with lemon essential oil.
Yep, that's another one that'll work. So, I mean, you got a lot of weapons you can use, folks, besides going to the doctor, paying thousands of dollars and let them beat your kidneys for 45 minutes with sound waves. And then you have these gigantic chunks that come out and you bleed like crazy. That's what happened to my father when he did it. So, again, you can choose the natural way, which is gentle and easy on the system, or you can do it the hard way.
Well, the other thing about doing it the natural way, when you already have what you need in your possession, then you can treat immediately, whether it's an injury or illness comes up in some way. And the worst you can be is wrong and the doctor's still there. You know, I mean, the worst you can do is not really accomplish your goal. But if you're knowledgeable and have access to people that are knowledgeable, it's so much easier to take charge of your own health. But it's not popular, and people like to play misery trump. And if they don't have any cards in the game, their friends won't play with them. That's what I call it, misery poker. Because, hey, I'll see your cataracts and raise you dialysis. Well, I'll see your dialysis and raise you chemotherapy. Well, I'll see your chemotherapy and raise you a kidney transplant. Oh, you win. Ding, ding, ding. You got the prize today. All the misery and, you know, pity goes to you. There you go. It's not a game I care to play.
No, exactly. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for being with us. And anytime you got more information, come on back on.
Oh, take hey. Lunch is all about fun. Have a great night.
All right, take care. Thanks to all your listeners as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Susan.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Again, that's Bud and Vicki up there in the cold state of New York, sharing their information with us. I've known Bud for a very long time. So, anyway, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to share information and truth with those that will listen. We pray that information will go out to the ears meant to hear it. We also ask that you lift up all of us that are in this struggle, that you give us strength and courage and good discernment, and help us over the pitfalls and the landmines that the enemy lays before us. And also that you'd give us a spirit of courage and not a spirit of fear. Help us be good examples to those around us. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.